Normally we're going through Hebrews, but today we're going to skip. I have a Veterans Day message prepared this morning, but next Sunday we'll be back at the Hebrews. Moses making coffee, right? Hebrews for sure. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. I'm thirsty. I ate a lot of salty stuff at the Calico Festival. Anybody go to Calico Festival? No? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the ones that are here. Lord, we just lift all the prayer requests, spoken and unspoken, for sure. And Lord, we thank you for America. Lord, we do just take time a little bit here and thank you for our veterans, and especially the ones that really experienced the combat and ones that really got out there where the rubber reached the road and defended our country. And Lord, we just thank you from all the way back from the beginning of our country right through all the different wars. Lord, we don't want to forget any of those. Korea, the World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and all the stuff that was going on in the Middle East the last decade or two. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you keep an America free. We know it's only because of you. And Lord, thank you for these veterans. Pray for this word this morning that you'll help me teach it. And we can grow and become more like you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. And cleanse us from all that unrighteous. Make us new. Help us out, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, let's read it. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Amen. Now, in many churches like ours, stand two flags. We have some outside and some inside. The American flag and the Christian flag. And these two flags represent two types of freedom. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. One is the freedom that allows us to travel anywhere we want to go within our own borders. It allows us, this freedom allows us to live wherever we want to live. It allows us to dream big dreams and gives us the right to pursue those dreams. Now, someone wrote, "It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran and not the politician who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us the freedom of religion." You see, guys, over the years, veterans have sacrificed so much to obtain and preserve this precious freedom, which also includes the God-given right to worship our Lord and Savior anytime and any place. And this leads us to the other type of freedom represented by the Christian flag. This is a greater freedom that only can be found in Christ Jesus, who died as a ransom. Amen? And this ransom it sets us free. This is a freedom from the life of pointlessness. It's a freedom from the tyranny of sin, from hatred, from lust, and from bitterness. It's the freedom from the grave. It's the freedom to love God and to love our neighbor. To serve each of these flags faithfully and effectively, we must meet certain requirements. Are you guys ready? Before one can become a veteran, they must first be a good soldier. So my question today for you guys is, what does it take to become a good soldier? That's okay. Yes, what does it take to become... Mr. Jesse's pointing at me, and I'm like, what? What does it take to become a good soldier? Not just a military veteran, but a spiritual veteran. And that's where I want to go this morning. What does it take to be a spiritual veteran? The Apostle Paul, he definitely knew something about this, didn't he? For sure. When the Apostle Paul, he enlisted in the Lord's army when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul endured many countless dangers and perils and toils. And as a result of this, Paul definitely earned the title of a Christian veteran. And toward the end of his life, while he was facing execution for his commitment to Christ, Paul found himself in a cold Roman prison, cut off from the world, with just a quill and some parchment. And let me read this. Paul knew that he would soon be executed, and he wrote his final thoughts to a pastor named Timothy, passing to him the torch of leadership, reminding him of what was truly important, and encouraged him to keep the faith. And these are the four points we're going to talk about this morning. In these two verses, Paul uses four E words. In other words, words that begin with the letter E. Enlist, endure, engage, and entangle. Enlist, endure, engage, and entangle. So let's look at these four words. Each of these represent a different aspect of what it takes to become a veteran soldier of Christ. So let's start with the last one first, if you don't mind, which is enlist. You can't become a veteran if you don't enlist. Paul says it in another translation, NIV, he talks about, he says, a soldier wants to please his commanding officer. But thankfully, we no longer have a draft in our country. I don't see anything wrong or right with it. Well, at least today we don't have one. But recruiters are sent out to encourage people to volunteer. But men and women still have that freedom of choice of whether they want to serve or not. Now, some people serve our country for different reasons, and that's okay. Some kids find a way to go to college through that. Some grew up in the military, and that was kind of a way of life. Some of them feel a sense of patriotic duty, and they want to go serve their country. And then some kids are just getting away from a crazy life. Amen? And some of them just needed some direction and purpose in their life. So remember that one. No matter what the reason, it's a tough decision. It's a difficult, life-changing decision to just decide to leave everything. Leave everyone and go wherever. Thankfully, God does not force anyone to serve in His kingdom either. But He does send out recruiters. That's you and me. We are the recruiters. We're encouraged for people to serve in God's army. But they still have the choice, don't they? They still have a choice. See, following Jesus is a life-altering commitment that requires full devotion. When you make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your life must change. You are no longer able to be the commanding officer or general of your life. You have given that over to Christ. He is now the leader of your life. If He is Lord of your life. That word Lord, if you look it up, it basically means boss. He's the one that's in charge. So, the first step to becoming a spiritual veteran in Christ is enlisting. The second step is enduring. We must endure. American soldiers in every branch of the military have a lot to endure. Just the crazy, enduring, grueling part of basic training is just the beginning for them. And if they're not ready for it, it'll wind up being the hardest thing they've ever done in their life. Not only does the soldier have to endure the physical aspects of it, there's also the emotional, the mental part of it. And then there's the part of being separated from their family. For most, that's the difficult part. That's sometimes harder than even in combat. In order to be successful in the military, you have to endure the different situations and circumstances that come your way. It is the same way being a follower of Christ. We must endure. As Paul said to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. In our country, we are so thankful that we don't experience the kind of turmoil and chaos as in other countries. We need to be very thankful that other parts of the world, Christians are persecuted physically and killed and tortured. And most of us here in America, we know nothing about that. During Paul's missionary journeys, he was flogged and stoned and shipwrecked and et cetera and et cetera. But I need to tell you folks, this is not trying to scare you, but just the religious persecution is not only happening in the world, but it's beginning to happen in America now. It's just right now on the surface. Mainly in colleges, universities, media. Y'all see it. I don't need to get up here and tell you about that. And I believe it's going to get worse. As the end days begin to approach, this persecution is going to get worse, so we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give an account for what we believe. We need to be ready. When people ask you these questions, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to give an account for what we believe. We need to be ready to lead people to Christ. We have to trust God's plan is better than our plan. Even when we're in the midst of our struggles and things are not going quite like we think they should go, which is probably like 98% of us in here this morning, right? Even in the midst of that, we must trust God. So, we enlist, we endure, and next, we engage. This is what the Scripture is telling us. As most of you know, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps in the infantry, and Lynn spent 8 years active duty in the Navy. She was a SEAL. Nah. But Lynn did work in a search and rescue helicopter squadron. It was very cool, you know. So, but she did great stuff in the Navy. Now, I have never experienced war. I have great respect for those who have experienced war and combat. I had the privilege for about 5 years to serve active duty combat soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. I worked at Greenleaf, which was that time owned by South Georgia Medical Center. I was the lead therapist and the chaplain. This was very, I felt like I was serving my country again. The men would come over, and the guys that had PTSD and addictions, which went hand in hand, and they would become, you know, patients in our 90-day program, and I headed that up, basically. And we had soldiers that would come from, infantry soldiers that would come from Fort Stewart, and we'd have Army Rangers that would come from Hunter Army Airfield, and then we had Navy SEALs that would come from SOCOM down in Tampa. And it was very interesting, you know, and it was a very powerful time, and I got to talk to them about Jesus, and it was awesome. I really did feel like I was serving my country again. We helped a lot of folks, and then we lost a few, you know, but, and there was a few women that came through, too, that was dealing with the PTSD and the combat stuff. But thank God, everybody say amen? Thank God that most of us will never have to experience the hell of war. One thing is, all these men would tell me during counseling and therapy that their training was worth it, and it helped them engage the enemy and prepared them for the physical battle. That it didn't do anything for them for the emotional, mental battle that caught most of them off guard. But the physical battle. In regards to training, I think we Christians need to do the same. That's why I'm pretty passionate about this Romans Road. I hope and pray that each one of you take this seriously and you don't minimize this, that you really do take a personal effort to memorize those four scriptures. If you haven't, remember, therefore there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I will draw names and call on you next Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. Frankie's like, that ain't serious. That's not right, Dallas. But seriously, we need to prepare ourselves. There is a battle coming. I know the battle is the Lord's, but you know, He expects us to train and be diligent, right? Put on the armor of God. But we need to prepare. The battle is not against flesh and blood. We all know that. It's not against an earthly enemy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Those are strong words. I'm going to read it again. Think about this. This is not a fluffy scripture here. So if you struggle, you have children's struggles and grandchildren's struggles and financial struggles and those kind of things, listen to this. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh." You can worry all you want to, but it's not going to get you anywhere. Worry's like a speedy getaway on a wooden horse. Remember? Ride that thing all day. We don't get nowhere. It's tired and wore out. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Verse 5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ." In other words, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have to be prepared to engage in the spiritual warfare. See, we battle temptation, every single one of us battles temptation. We must stand opposed to false religions and worldviews that are hostile towards Christianity. We are called to defend the faith with reason and decision and love. We cannot be afraid to stand up for Jesus in the public or in our personal relationships. I'm a promoter of being tactful too, right? We need to be tactful. We need to be strategic. We need to cover things in prayer. We don't need to be a religious weirdo. That's not what I'm talking about. Can I say that? Is that all right? Right? We need to be covered in prayer. We need to be, you know, be tactful, and we'll be loving, and we need to be knowledgeable. We need to speak, let the Holy Spirit speak through us with wisdom. God is counting on us to take captives, which means surrendering our own thought and beliefs to Christ. But it also means leading others and helping others to do the same. And we do this with gentleness and respect and love. Is everybody with me? In the Lord's army, we don't kill our enemies. Might want to feel like it sometimes, right? In the Lord's army, we don't kill our enemies. Instead, our goal is to make them our allies. I mean, Jesus taught all about that, didn't he? The Lord's army, we're not fighting alone. Just as soldiers in a squad or a platoon or a company depend on each other, just like firemen, you know, we depend on each other. Christian veterans rely on our church family to support us and stand beside us. That's why it's so important that we forget not the gathering of ourselves together, especially during these crazy times, right? In order to be a veteran of Christ Jesus, we must enlist, we must endure, we must engage, and then lastly, don't get entangled. Paul says in verse 4, no one. Did he say maybe some folks? He said no one engaged in warfare entangles themselves with the affairs of this life. Now here's a story for you, and I actually got this story for Jerry. So Jerry, if you listen on your... Never mind, he's not listening on his... I got this story for Jerry, so y'all relate it to him, okay? Here's the story. I heard a story about a young Navy sailor, because Jerry served in the Navy. He was a Seabees. That's high speed, right? I heard a story about a young Navy sailor who had just graduated boot camp and reported to his first duty station. He asked his commanding officer for a pass so he could attend a wedding. The officer gave him the pass, but informed the young man that he would have to be back by 1900 on Sunday. That's 7 o'clock for you civilians. The new recruit said, "You don't understand, sir. I'm in the wedding." And the officer shot back at him and said, "No, son, you don't understand. You're in the U.S. Navy." I thought that was funny. In other words, you're going to do what I tell you to do. When you serve this American flag, you're expected. I think about John when I was putting this together. When you serve this American flag, you're expected to be completely committed to your country and to allow nothing to prevent you from performing your duties and serving faithfully. See, guys, when you serve this Christian flag, you are also expected to completely commit to Christ Jesus and His kingdom. You're expected to serve Him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing His will. Now, unfortunately, countless Christians, after coming to the faith in Christ Jesus, they do get entangled in the affairs of this world. They let other things become more important than Jesus. In fact, Jesus told a story about this, about this farmer who scattered some seeds, and I'll summarize it. It's in Luke 8. He said some of them sowed seed, they fell on the path, and some on the rocky ground, and some of the weeds, and some in good soil. So the seeds that fell And the weeds and the thorns didn't grow up because they got caught up in the concerns and pleasures of this world. We need to be careful about the things that distract us from serving King Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, he says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the pressing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." So, let me close it here. We enlist, we endure, we engage, and we don't get entangled. Guys, this is part of the spiritual maturing process that we've been talking about in Hebrews. When we enter into God's kingdom, into God's army, we usually start out as a simple recruit. And then we become a lowly private. But then, as we serve God by serving people, God begins to promote us in His kingdom, in His army. Now, He may decide to promote you as an enlisted soldier, or He may move you to become an officer. Either way, we're serving His kingdom by serving His people. We all have a role to play in God's kingdom. The goal in the Christian life, y'all hear me on this, the goal in the Christian life is to become a veteran. Someone others can look up to. We need to eventually be that old combat veteran that's been there and done that, and they got the scars. The one that has the wisdom and knowledge and compassion to help those that are out there that are broken and scared and worried and full of fear, and they're lost in the world. They need us to guide them to the way. As mature Christians, we should be someone that people would look at and they would say to themselves, "Now that's a real man right there. I want to know his God. Oh, that's a real woman right there. I want to know her God." And then maybe they come to you at a quiet moment, a private moment, and they say to you, "You know, will you tell me about your Jesus? My life's falling apart. My husband's leaving me. My son has cancer. My job is letting me go. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I've been watching you. And every time life throws you a big curveball, I see you get a little upset, but you keep your course. You stay on track. You have peace and you have joy. I want to know, how do you do this?" Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for the freedom that we can gather together here today and not hear any bombs or planes flying over, blowing up things, not afraid that someone's going to kick in the back door and come in and tell us to shut this down. Father, we do pray right now. We just stop for a minute and lift up our brothers and sisters in foreign countries that do live under this kind of stronghold, this kind of fear and worry. Lord, we lift them up to you, Father. We ask that you show them mercy and grace. Give them courage to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Lord, help us, Lord. Open up some windows and doors. Help us, Lord, help them and whatever we can do in our small way. Whether we give money or we give things or we go ourselves. Just show us, Lord, what we need to do. We can pray, I know that. Father, I pray for one that's here this morning that may not know you as their personal Savior. During this song of invitation, they'll come down to the altar. And I'll be glad to pray with them, Father, and make that right and give their life to Christ. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.